Hello, this is Randy Thompson from the Triangle Radio Reading Service. Welcome to Music Review. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. For the next half hour, I shall be reading articles about music from such sources as the New York Times, the News and Observer, the Week Magazine, Rolling Stone, and Entertainment Weekly. Music Review is designed to provide the latest coverage of classical, folk, jazz, blues, rock, country, and pop music news. But first, these musical trivia questions. Today's musical trivia questions come to us from the websites onthisday.com and cracked.com. Question number one. It was on this very day, back in 1956, in Cleveland, Ohio, that police invoked a 1931 ordinance that did what? Did it A, outlaw singing out of tune? Did it B, prevent teachers from loitering in ice cream parlors? Did it C, make it illegal to drink alcoholic beverages out of paper bags before 10 a.m.? Or did it do D, it barred people under 18 years old from dancing in public unless accompanied by an adult? So, 1931, ordinance enforced in 1956, Cleveland. What did the ordinance do? And question number two, what is the backstory to the song Blow the Man Down? Hint, the lyrics include this. I'll sing you a song, a good song of the sea, with a way, hey, blow the man down, and trust that you'll join in the chorus with me. Give me some time to blow the man down. Is it A, wait till we get out to sea first, before you can start abusing the workers? Was it B, powerful tornadoes in Kansas are nothing compared to hurricanes in the ocean? Or was it C, people of strong character can stand up to any challenge? Or was it D, the pirates will get you if you don't watch out? So which one was it? The backstory to the song, Blow the Man Down. The answers to these two important musical trivia questions will be given, as usual, at the end of today's program. Our transitions come to us from the website onthisday.com, and today, quote unquote, is the weekend of February 23rd. Well, it was on this day back in 1685 that composer George Friedrich Handel was born. Handel composed operas, oratorios, and instrumentals. His 1741 work, Messiah, is among the most famous oratorios in history. And it was 145 years ago today, back in 1873, that opera singer Enrico Caruso was born in Naples, Italy. He was the third of seven children to a poor alcoholic father. He received little primary education. His early income was from singing serenades. In 1897, he auditioned for Puccini, who was looking for a leading tenor for a performance of La Bohème. Puccini was so impressed with the range and tone of the young Caruso's voice that he reportedly mumbled in awe, "Who sent you to me? God himself?" After an unfriendly reception of his performance in Naples, Caruso vowed to never sing in Naples again, and he never did.
Would you sing We Shall Overcome with me, please?
We shall overcome, we shall overcome, we shall overcome someday.
Joan Baez singing We Shall Overcome introduces our folk music news item. This was an article published by Alex Susskind, published in Entertainment Weekly, the 2018 Oscar Special Edition. Joan Baez's Guide to Protesting. The folk legend and activist is about to drop Whistle Down the Wind, her first album in a decade, and embark on her final tour. Here she shares tales and tips from a lifetime of enacting change through music. Start early. One of Baez's first major brushes with activism came as a teenager when she opted not to participate in her Palo Alto, California high school's air raid drill. There was one girl who was going to do it with me, but she got scared. The 77-year-old says, I went to the principal's office and he thought I was nuts, so he sent me somewhere else. Nobody thought about protesting. They were just going through the motions. Be consistent. Since that initial air raid protest, Baez has been unwavering in her role as an anti-war activist, from performing Amazing Grace on the streets of Sarajevo during the country's siege to traveling to Hanoi to visit POWs. On the new album, she touches on these themes once again with a cover of Tim Erickson's powerful I Wish the Wars Were All Over. Deny, then empathize. War, famine, racism. How does a lifelong activist like Baez cope in the face of constant injustice? Live in denial at least 80% of the time or you'll go crazy, she says, and then spend the other percent trying to figure out what you're going to do with your life to bring caring and empathy. The power of music. Contrary to popular belief, says Baez, contemporary protest music does exist. The problem is that we're lacking in new anthems. They don't catch the crowd and unify it and give them to something like Blowin' in the Wind or an Imagine, she says. Although she knows that writing an anthem is daunting, to create a new one is really important. It will move people to stop shouting and sing instead. Use your influence. Though Baez thinks other artists in her position should speak up, she realizes she can't just make someone march or voice their opinion. All I can say is what it's done for me, which is bring a real wealth to my life. The real beauty to it and the importance to it is how I've been able to share this voice in other situations where people might not want to go. Finally, if you're singing at a protest, protect your instruments. Hide your guitar behind your back when they start throwing eggs, says Baez. I'm serious. Yo-Yo Ma, performing Bach's Cello Suite No. 1, introduces today's classical music news item. It's an article from BBC.com on the 17th of February, 2018, entitled Rare Cello Returned After Knife Point Theft in Paris. An 18th-century cello has been returned to a French musician after an appeal following her knife point robbery. Ophélie Gaillard was robbed of the instrument and her mobile phone outside her home in Paris on Thursday. After putting an appeal on Facebook, she received an anonymous call saying it was in a car outside her home. She found a window smashed, but the instrument in good condition. The rare instrument is worth about $1.6 million. Made in 1737 by Italian instrument maker Francesco Gaffrillar. It was loaned to Miss Guyland from the CIC Bank. The instrument was stolen in its case along with a bow that was itself almost 200 years old. The 43-year-old award-winning cellist told police her attacker forced her to hand the instrument over at knife point before fleeing on foot in the northeastern Paris suburb of Pantin. The theft was very violent. I have not been able to sleep for 2 days. I am so relieved to have found it. I'm coming out of a 2-day nightmare. It's a miracle, she told the AFP news agency. Her original post was shared almost 10,000 times in just 2 days. Confirming the instrument's return on Facebook, Ms. Gaillard thanked everyone who helped with the appeal and called its return an incredible dream. Francesco Gaffrilier, the son of Venetian Meister cello maker Matteo Gaffrilier, was active in the first half of the 18th century.
Stacy, can I come over after school?
Casey Abrams and the Postmodern Jukebox introduces today's jazz music news with a jazz rendition of the rock pop hit by Fountains of Wayne, Stacy's Mom. The article title, Postmodern Jukebox Tunes a Vintage Twist. Ed Condren, News and Observer, 18th of February, 2018. This group, the Postmodern Jukebox, performed earlier this week at the Duke Energy Center for the Performing Arts in downtown Raleigh. When Postmodern Jukebox started in 2011, all recordings were captured in a small basement apartment in Queens, New York. Much has changed since the Scott Bradley-led act now is housed in some fancy digs in Southern California dubbed the PMJ Manor. Fans driving by celebrity homes in Los Angeles can listen for pop and rock songs revamped into hot jazz tunes, and they might uncover Bradley's pad. Megan Trainor's All About That Bass becomes All About That Upright Bass in Bradley's world. Gloria Jones's Tainted Love is a jazzy ragtime tune, and Tears for Fears, Everybody Wants to Rule the World, is a piano cover. Bradley, 36, is a ragtime player who fell in love with jazz at 12 after discovering George Gershwin. After graduating from the University of Hartford 15 years ago, Bradley toiled in New York City clubs. After a few years on the circuit, he had an epiphany. Bradley decided to take modern pop songs and transform them into jazz, swing, or ragtime numbers. Bradley formed Postmodern Jukebox in 2013 and made waves by turning Miley Cyrus's We Can't Stop into a doo-wop tune. Music fans discovered his YouTube clip, which became a viral sensation. Altogether, Postmodern Jukebox has racked up 912 million YouTube views and 3.2 million subscribers. Each week, Postmodern Jukebox drops a new video, and this week they released a new album, their 14th, Jazz Me Outside, Part 1. Scott has no problem transforming songs, regardless of the genre. Bradley has revamped show tunes, Delta blues, and metal into PMJ songs. Anything goes. We're having fun with Time After Time, which is transformed into a spare jazz ballad. Every once in a while, an entertainer lets Bradley know how they feel about being covered in such a manner. Gloria Gaynor dropped us a line to tell us how much she loved it when we turned I Will Survive into a Latin jazz song. Beyoncé shared PMJ's version of Drunken Love on Facebook. Doesn't get any bigger than Beyoncé. Chris Franz of the Talking Heads raved about PMJ's version of This Must Be the Place. We often hear recording artists are surprised what we do with their songs. The possibilities are limitless. Indeed, Postmodern Jukebox's rotating door of musicians keeps it fresh. More than 60 musicians have recorded with PMJ. Postmodern Jukebox. Mm-hmm. And in music research and technology, we have this article from Duke Medicine. It's entitled Vocal Pacing. This is published in Duke Voice Care Center newsletter on June 2013. The high vocal demands of singers, performers, parents, teachers, coaches, clergy, and occupational voice users often lead to voice problems from overuse. A voice injury from overuse is like a repetitive motion injury, similar to carpal tunnel syndrome. When we speak and sing, our vocal folds vibrate very quickly. If we speak or sing a lot as part of our job, our vocal folds can vibrate a million times or more during a workday. We use vocal pacing to balance voice use and voice rest to avoid or recover from injury. The vocal clock. We all have a vocal clock that starts ticking the minute we start our day. We have a limited number of hours and minutes of safe voice use on that clock before the vocal folds are at risk for being injured. Certain intense vocal behaviors and styles take more minutes off the clock than others. Examples include yelling, loud speaking, and singing, especially loud singing or belting. Prioritization is key. If teaching or singing is most important to you, then you may need to reduce other kinds of vocal use. Vocal pacing for singing. Work with your singing voice therapist or singing teacher to develop efficient voice production. Singing with technique that is appropriate for your singing style is imperative for long-lasting vocal health. College music majors should prioritize academic voice requirements such as lessons, required ensembles, and practice, and should carefully consider their academic vocal load before joining extracurricular ensembles and activities. Always warm up your voice before rehearsing or performing. Try to rest your voice for one day before and after a big performance. Know your limits for vocal stamina, loudness, and pitch. Do not push through a performance or rehearsal if you're sick or feeling vocal fatigued. Mark whenever possible. Marking means singing through a rehearsal with lower vocal intensity than you would use in a performance. For example, do not always sing full voice on staging or choreography rehearsals. Minimize scheduling social, public, media events and activities around a performance so you can devote all your mental and vocal energy to your performance. Minimize recreational singing in the car, around the house, etc. Make your practice time count. Schedule individual practice on a regular basis and break practice time into smaller units. Instead of practicing 60 minutes three times a week, practice 30 minutes six times a week. Avoid using your voice learning the music. Reap the benefits of mental practice. Think through the song while listening to a recording. Use unvoiced lip trills or hissing to practice breath flow while listening to or thinking through the music. And memorize and interpret the song mentally before singing through the song. Plan which songs and which parts of songs need the most work and allocate your practice time accordingly. Rather than repeatedly running through an entire song, listen to or think through the song three times and then sing it once. Make vocal pacing work for you. Experiment with the strategies on this sheet to devise a plan that works with your specific needs. Keep in mind that finding your best vocal pacing plan may involve plenty of trial and error. If you experience a setback because you overdid it, assess the causes of the setback and decide how to avoid it in the future. Effective vocal pacing works best when paired with excellent vocal hygiene. Work with your doctor or voice therapist for optimal vocal hygiene. Stay well hydrated. Get treatment for allergies and acid reflux. Avoid smoking and secondhand smoke. And avoid excessive throat clearing. Consult a speech-language pathologist who specializes in voice disorders for more information on effective vocal pacing that fits your lifestyle. You can phone for more information at 919-681-4984 or toll-free 800-385-3646. Duke Medicine. And in rock and pop music news, we have this article written by B.J. Bethel, published in Dayton Daily News on the 16th of February, 2018, entitled Gibson Guitar Company, maker of the Les Paul, facing bankruptcy after 116 years in business. Nashville, Tennessee. Gibson Guitar Company, which has been a staple brand among various musical instruments since 1902, is facing bankruptcy. The company, which generates $1 billion a year in revenues, recently moved out of its Nashville warehouse, where it had operated since the mid-1980s. The company owner since then, Henry Juskowitz, is trying to reorder the company, according to the Post, but is facing a battle with creditors over bad business decisions. The company recently sold Baldwin Piano and is hoping to see a boost in cash from the various electronics companies it has purchased the last several years. Gibson began in 1902 in Kalamazoo, Michigan, producing various instruments, including acoustic guitars. In 1952, the company brought in famous guitarist Les Paul to sell a guitar based on his own name, which would become one of the most iconic instruments ever made. The Gibson Les Paul began production in 1952 and became a staple of the rock and roll movement since. The company since developed other iconic guitars such as the SG, Firebird, and has sponsored hundreds of musicians. The company moved from Kalamazoo to Nashville in the mid-1980s. And this has been Peter Frampton, who plays Gibson guitars, performing Sweet Liberté in the background right now. Dvorak's Songs My Mother Taught Me introduces today's local music news, titled Raleigh Classical Series, Dvorak Cello Concerto. Domingo Hendoyan, the conductor. Johannes Moser on cello. Playing Dvorak's Cello Concerto and Prokofiev's Symphony No. 5. That's coming up this weekend, Friday and Saturday. March 2nd and 3rd, that's next weekend actually. 2018 at 8 p.m. in My Mandy Concert Hall, Raleigh. Go to ncsymphony.org or phone 919-733-2750 for more detail and ticket information about this upcoming concert on March the 2nd and the 3rd. So, how'd you do on today's musical trivia questions? Well, the answer to our first question, it was on this very day, back in 1956, in Cleveland, Ohio, that police invoked a 1931 ordinance that did what? Did it outlaw singing out of tune? Did it prevent teachers from loitering in ice cream parlors? Did it make it illegal to drink alcoholic beverages out of paper bags before 10 a.m.? Or did it bar people under 18 years old from dancing in public unless accompanied by an adult? So what did the ordinance do? Correct answer, answer D. This 1931 ordinance barred people under the age of 18 from dancing in public unless accompanied by an adult. 1956 was also the year that Mitch Miller, who was then the music director of Columbia Records, hosted a program on CBS TV with two psychiatrists to point out the potentially negative effects of rock and roll on teenagers. According to an article titled 12 Dumbest Laws Still on the Books in Ohio by Sam Allred, published on June 18, 2013 in CleveScene.com, there are also still laws in Ohio that make it illegal to catch mice without a hunting license, to sell cornflakes on Sunday, to get a fish drunk, to throw a snake at anybody, and to kill a housefly within 160 feet of a church without a license. And the answer to our second question, what is the backstory to the song? Blow the Man Down. Hint, the lyrics include, I'll sing you a song, a good song of the sea, with a way, hey, blow the man down. And trust that you'll join in the chorus with me. Give me some time to blow the man down. Was it, wait till we get out to sea before you start abusing the workers? Was the backstory, powerful tornadoes in Kansas are nothing compared to hurricanes in the ocean? Or was it, people of strong character can stand up to any challenge? Or finally, was it, the pirates will get you if you don't watch out? Correct answer, answer A. The abuse of workers will commence only after you got out to sea. As noted in the article, Five Terrifying Origin Stories Behind Popular Children's Songs by John Croce, on the 21st of September 2012 in Cracked.com, as nauseatingly wholesome as children's songs may seem, sometimes there are corpses buried beneath those mountains of spaghetti and axe murderers behind those rainbows. Whether there's a case of the original lyrics being intentionally omitted or just a complete misunderstanding of what the song was trying to say in the first place, there's something a little disconcerting about hearing third graders sing these songs in their pure little voices while knowing what they're really about. So what about the song Blow the Man Down? Well, being blown down doesn't necessarily refer to a strong wind. During the 18th century, when the song originated, Blow the Man Down was slang for a man being knocked to the ground either from a crew fighting with each other or from the ship's officers inflicting a little discipline. As a sea shanty, there are numerous alternate verses of the song. Several versions include mention of a blackballer, a ship designated for fast transport during the second half of the 19th century. They were one of the quickest ways to travel among major cities, but not always the safest. They were notorious for being hard on their crews, with the captain and officers often signing up ignorant first-time sailors and then regularly dishing out harsh beatings as soon as the ship got out to sea. Some original lyrics in Blow the Man Down read, when the blackballer gets clear of the land, 'tis when you'll hear this great word of command. Well, we've run out of time for today's episode of Music Review. And as we leave you, remember these words. Kindness is the language which blind people see and deaf people hear. Be sure to tune in at the same time next week. I'm Randy Thompson, reading for the Triangle Radio Reading Service. Content of this program intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Music Review, readily available as a podcast after the broadcast in the TRRS website, TriangleReadingService.org. If you have a suggestion for music to feature on this program, please leave a message for me. Randy Thompson at 919-832-5138. So long, until next time.